He who saw all, who was the foundation of the land, who knew everything, was wise in all matters. Gilgamesh, who saw all, who was the foundation of the land, who knew everything, was wise in all matters. Welcome to Delmarva Today. I'm your host, Harold Wilson. The lines you just heard are the opening four lines of the Epic of Gilgamesh, the earliest surviving work of literature. They were found on a clay tablet in the library of Ashurbanipal at Nineveh, now the city of Mosul in Iraq. Ashurbanipal's library is one of the oldest known libraries and is dated from the 7th century BC. Libraries have been a part of human history almost since the dawn of writing about 5,000 years ago. My guest today is Bill Peek, and we're talking about libraries, and particularly the impact the coronavirus is having on them today. Bill, welcome to Delmarva Today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bill, tell us a bit about yourself and your work at the Talbot County Free Library, for instance. I know that you're called the library guy. When did you get that title, and what does it mean?
Well, I'm not sure what it means exactly. Even my wife calls me the library guy. But the way I got it, when I first went to work at the library, I was a shelver, which is low man on the totem pole. But a good way to start, because you spend all your time putting the books back up on the shelves and you learn where things are. And I was out in the shelves, and a little boy came up to me who couldn't have been more than about 8 years old, and he wanted a book about hunting. And I happened to know where those were, and I directed him to it and gave him several books, and he walked away with these, real proud of me. So we were in the adult section. And I heard him about two aisles over, he ran into his father, and his father looked at the books and said, "Where'd you get those?" And the little boy said, "The library guy." He gave them to me. And I was very proud to be called the library guy, and have been ever since. I wrote it in a column. I write a column for the Star Democrat about life in the library, and have told that story in there somewhere along the line. And ever since, now when I walk down the streets in Easton, people yell out, "Hey, library guy!" But I've done a lot of things for the library. In addition to writing the column, I was a communications manager, so I oversaw all their publications, edited the newsletter, press releases, made sure all the information on our website was accurate. And if you saw a misspelling somewhere, it was my fault. That's basically it. And I'm also an author. My publisher would hate me if I didn't mention the fact that I wrote The Oblate's Confession, which has won a whole bunch of national awards and is takes place in a monastery in the 7th century in the Dark Ages. And the board of the library published another book of mine called Adventures in Shelving, which is a compilation of my columns.
Adventures in Shelving?
Yes.
Tell me about that before we get into the library itself.
Well, it's the you know, I came up with that title when I first wrote my first column. Shelving, you know, the stacks, as we librarians call them, is integral to all good libraries, all the way back to the time of Gilgamesh, perhaps. Certainly there have always been shelves, and in modern day libraries, they're real tall. It's like walking back into a forest full of books. And there's something, for me at least, very romantic and enchanting about shelves as a result. And so Adventures in Shelving seem to fit.
Well, it does seem to fit, because from what you've said, the library guy started out as a shelver.
That's right. That's right.
As well. Well, Bill, the coronavirus has impacted a number of institutions. Last week on the program, we talked about the educational institutions and what is happening to universities and colleges and even our schools and the changes that are taking place there. Sure. How has the coronavirus impacted the library system?
Well, to be quite honest, it's been terrible. We've had to close for the safety of our patrons and staff. And you don't realize just how important libraries are until they're not there. We have patrons who come in every day. That's their social place. They sit around, they read the newspaper, they talk to each other. They're missing out on that. At a time when people are losing jobs right and left because of the coronavirus and desperate to find work, nowadays, most people, you have to apply for jobs online. And a lot of people in Talbot County don't have computers. So what they have always done in the past is come to the library and use our public access computers. And we have helped them, those that don't know how to use a computer, to apply online. So we help people every day find jobs there, and none of those people can do that right now because they don't have our computers. As someone who believes in libraries and knows how important they are and has seen what we accomplish in the community day in and day out, it's really upsetting to me to know that our building, at least, is closed. We've got a director who's galvanized the entire staff. We're working really hard at home, providing as much online service as we can. But I do worry, and we all worry about those people out there in Talbot County who don't have a computer and can't use online service. There's one of our patrons, for instance, I won't name any names for privacy's sake, but we have a patron who has eye problems and as a result can't read anymore, but he can still enjoy movies. And the guy comes in every two or three days and checks out a whole slew of movies and gets even more for us through interlibrary loan from libraries all over the state of Maryland, absolutely free. And I know it's providing, he's a Vietnam veteran. It's really important to him to have that connection with the world. He's not getting it at all right now. I've seriously thought about putting together a bag of full of my DVDs that I'm not looking at right now and driving by his house and pitching them up on the porch. Because I'm worried about him. You know, we care about our patrons. That's one of the things we're also doing is we're connecting with those. You know, we have a lot of elderly patrons. And those of us who have direct connections with them are contacting them either by email or phone to make sure they're doing okay. But it's a big world out there and we can't touch everybody. I do worry about it. It's not good to have the library closed.
What other services does the library provide, Bill, that it is no longer able to provide?
Well, a lot of our big programming, lectures and such, we had a gentleman named David Roll was going to come just last week, was supposed to speak about a new book out he's written about George C. Marshall, the general during World War II, who was so instrumental in the victory. It was going to be a big event. We were really excited about it. It's a very important book, and that has had to be postponed. Meredith Davies Hadaway was the poet, was going to give a reading. That's had to be postponed. Laurel Snyder, children's author, the Eastern Shore Regional Library had contracted with her to come around to all the libraries and give readings. That's had to be postponed, probably indefinitely in that case. There've just been a number. The worst of all, in my opinion, was my program. On March 16th, I was supposed to lead a book discussion on Virginia Woolf's To the Lighthouse, which happens to be my favorite novel of all time. I worked for the library for, I don't know, 13 or 14 years, and I've always dreamt of leading a book discussion about To the Lighthouse, and I waited until after I'd retired. I'm officially retired now. And thinking that I would really have the time to do it right. And it was March 16th. That was the first day we were closed. I didn't get to do it. So we've had to shut those kinds of programs down. Some of them were able to transfer to online, some of them we haven't been able to. Dr. Wayne Bell, for instance, who's a noted biologist, PhD from Harvard, taught for years at Washington College, is going to be doing a program. It was supposed to give a lecture on, entitled What History and Our Birds Can Tell Us. And it was an interesting idea that birds and their populations and their declines and increases tell us something about what we're doing to the land, as does our history. And he was going to combine the two in a really interesting lecture. I've heard him speak before. He's remarkable. That had to be postponed. But Dr. Bell is terrific. He's putting together the lecture for us, and we're gonna transmit that online so people can go online and hear it. I would strongly recommend to anyone who's missing our services, if you do have a computer, please go to our homepage, www.tcfl, that's TalbotCountyFreeLibrary.org. And there you can search. There is just extraordinary the amount of information that's available on there. And Dr. Bell's interview will, our lecture will be eventually. But there are programs on, there's an entire page of like 23 different links for parents with children at home. Can you imagine what it's like right now for a young mother and father at home with two or three kids who don't understand why they can't go out and play with their friends? Who don't understand why they can't go to school. And I'm sure they blame themselves, children being children, they think they've done something wrong. This must be very peculiar for them. And the parents must be desperate to find some way to keep their reading skills up and at the same time keep them entertained. Well, the library is providing a lot of online services for that. If they go to our homepage, they'll see there's a Creative Fund for Kids photograph on the left. They click on that and that'll take them immediately to all these links. And that's just one example. I mean, there are e-resources for adults. Ancestry.com is normally it's an extraordinary search engine for the people who are interested in genealogy, but normally you can only access it at the library. Ancestry kindly has made it available free through our website for every patron now. So you can go to our website, go up there on the top right of the website. There's a tab that says Fine, and you click on that, and it'll, a drop down menu will appear, and you click on e-resources, and then just go to ancestry.com. It's going to ask for your library card number, which is the number on the back of your card, that barcode number without the spaces. If you don't have a library card yet, you can get a temporary one. We're making that available because of the coronavirus. They can go to either visit or about to find the tab to find how to get a temporary library card. But it's easy to do. You can do it online in a second, and you've got a card number, and it'll let you access all our resources. Hoopla, which has got free movies, streaming video, Overdrive. You can read all kinds of books. Right now I'm reading Ron Chernow's excellent biography of Ulysses S. Grant, and I'm reading it on my Kindle free of charge from the library's Overdrive collection. So there are all kinds of neat services still available.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but I know the universities are now doing online teaching, and a lot, there are platforms designed for that, but they are also using Zoom, which we're using right now for our discussion. Is the library using Zoom at all? And does the library have an interest in using that kind of interactive format?
That's a good question. We do have a license to use Zoom. It's provided by the state, as I understand it. It's sort of experimental at this point. We're investigating whether or not we want to go further with it. I've studied it some, and Zoom has a lot of strengths and weaknesses, mostly strengths. And it may be something we will eventually use. Right now, we're still considering that. There are programs that we're offering on Facebook through our Facebook page, which is Facebook Talbot County Free Library, that provide that sort of thing as well. I mean, for instance, there's an escape room, I believe you can get there for elementary school age kids to play games and such. But I'm not sure whether or not we're going to use Zoom. It's the short answer to the question, I guess. It's a complicated issue.
Well, I'm thinking of things like story time for children.
Well, we do that. But not with Zoom. We do that with Facebook. There's on Tuesdays and Thursdays, parents can connect with, I think it's at 10 a.m. For story time for children with Miss Laurel and Miss Laura and Miss Amy. They read picture books to them. And earlier today, I watched one of them that looked pretty much fun. I thought I might listen for a while. Then on Wednesdays, I'm not sure about the time, but they can find it on the homepage. There's Creative Fun with Tim Young. This is also Facebook, through the Facebook connection. And Tim Young is an extraordinary children's book author and illustrator who happens to live across the street from me. He takes kids and shows them, this is for elementary school age children, he shows them how to draw terrific figures, how to do cartooning, he's a remarkably creative fellow, and his programs are always very popular. So yeah, we are doing that sort of thing, and we're probably going to do more. As I said, Dr. Bell's lecture is going to be coming up soon. I'm not sure if they're going to post that on Facebook, how they're going to do that, but we'll see.
I'm not familiar with Facebook, but that is an interactive platform like Zoom. So that's what you're using?
It is interactive in the sense that, just like what we're doing right now, you can see the person, you can hear them speaking, but I don't believe that the person on the hearing end, on the listening end, can respond. Now, in Zoom, as you know, obviously you and I are carrying on a conversation. There's also a form of Zoom in which you can have, I think they call it a panel, so that two or three people can speak, but the audience can't interact. And that's, if we went to Zoom lecture, that's probably what we'd have to use. But it doesn't. Now, in Facebook, people can respond with comments. I don't use Facebook either, but from what I've seen, if you're watching something, you can place a comment, sort of like chat in Zoom. And I believe the person who's performing the Facebook event can see that. But once again, I'm an old guy. I'm afraid the technology, all the young people are taking care of that. I'm just here for my gray hair at this point.
You have to be 12 years old to
exactly. We need children to run it for us.
They get it. They get the technology by osmosis.
Yes.
The universities are doing a lot of interactive things with Zoom. For instance, they can even do breakout rooms for class discussions and so forth. So
sure.
That might well be something the library would want to look at, because I'm thinking, for instance, of book clubs and book discussions where, in fact, the participants not only can speak to the person leading the discussion, but they can talk to each other as well. So sure. I don't know. Are you, is the library exploring that, or are you using that platform like that at all?
Well, yes. The Easton Book Club is using Zoom, and I know they've already held one Zoom meeting for their, they meet monthly, and so they have had one Zoom discussion, and I assume that will continue until we're able to reopen. And also, you were talking about breakout rooms, that reminded me, for your listeners who might be interested, if they don't have access to Zoom, there's also on our webpage, there's something called video chat. I think that's video chat. And if they go to their if they go to our homepage, down at the bottom in the middle, there's a picture of a looks like a grandmother speaking with her grandchild, and they're in two different places. Video chat's apparently real easy to use. So if people want to be able to do this and they don't want to have to mess around with Zoom, they should click on that getting started with video chat image at the bottom of our homepage, and it will show them real quickly how they can do that.
Bill, what has happened to the library staff as a result of the closure?
Well, we're all working pretty hard, actually, at home. I've been, for instance, and this is just a for instance because everybody's doing it in one way or another. For the longest time, I was putting together our e-blast, which were both informing people of what the library was still offering and what we could give them, but perhaps just as important, probably more important, we were keeping track of all the different services that were being offered free of charge around the county and the region to people who might be in need. And I got to tell you, it drove me slightly nuts. There were so many people doing good things. There are so many people doing good things in Talbot County for the people that it was hard to keep up with it. So I was working almost as hard, almost as much, almost as many hours as I did when I was in the library. And other staff are doing similar things. Right now, they're holding via Zoom, they're holding meetings to prepare for our eventual reopening, the hope that we're going to be able to reopen, planning out how we're going to do that, what the procedures will be, what staffing will look like, because we're going to have to do it in small numbers at first to maintain social distancing. Dana Newman, our director, has been working around the clock. I don't know how that woman gets everything done that she gets done. She's amazing. So the staff is hanging in there. We all miss everybody. We miss each other. We miss the patrons. But at least we're keeping busy. We're not getting ourselves in trouble or anything. We're working pretty hard.
Well, I wanted to ask you when the reopening of the library is projected. Are you looking forward to a particular time?
A date certain has not yet been set, but we're far enough along in it that we are doing the planning now, as I mentioned. But we're waiting until we hear the go-ahead for sure from the governor's office, state and federal authorities, and that we make sure that we've got everything in place to do it in a way that's safe for everybody. There's Dr. Wadley, whom I do not know, is the director of the Talbot County Health Department, is an MD, a pediatrician, as I understand it. And she's going to be overseeing, once we do reopen, when we get to that stage, she will oversee and sign off, is my understanding, on all the procedures that we're going to put into place. There are going to be a lot of, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We're going to take every step we can to make sure that our patrons and our staff and everybody involved is perfectly safe.
Are you going to key, do you believe, off of the universities and the opening of the universities as an example?
Well, we'll certainly study what they do. I don't know whether or not we'll have the same opening date. Once again, going back to Dana, who, as I said, is an amazing lady, she keeps track of everything. I'm sure she knows what the universities are doing, but also the American Library Association and the Association and the Public Library Association, PLA, ALA, I can't keep track of all the names. They're sending us information constantly. They're keeping track of everything that people are doing all over the world with libraries. And so all the good ideas are being funneled into Talbot County and reviewed, and those that are best fit our purposes will be employed. Fortunately, I'm, as I said earlier, I officially retired at the end of last year. One of the great things, if you ever have to retire, what you do is you officially retire, they throw a big party for you, give you a lot of wonderful gifts, and then after 2 months, it's legal for you to go back to work again.
No, that's right.
Yeah, so I'm working again part-time. It's fabulous. I missed the library. But at any rate, all that information is being funneled into Talbot County, and we're reviewing it, and we'll make sure that everything's perfectly safe.
Bill, you hit on it a little bit, but let me ask you again, what do you think the new normal for the library will look like?
Well, no one knows for sure, of course, but I pray, and I use that verb intentionally, I pray that the new normal is going to look a lot like the old normal. I mean, we all loved the old library, and we all loved the old way of doing everything, the old way of going to Hill's drugstore, the old way of going to the grocery store. You know, I'm hoping we're going to find a vaccine and we're going to be able to return to that so that life becomes relatively the same again, relatively normal again. And so as a result, it's really hard for me to say for sure what the new normal is going to look like. I do know that consideration is being made, plans are being made, procedures are being developed for making sure that everything that comes into the library, all materials are quarantined for a while to make sure that there's no way that a virus could still be, viruses aren't alive, but could still be functional on these materials. There will be changes like that that may slow down circulation a tad. You know, you may not be able to get a book immediately when somebody returns it, but you'll be able to get it fairly quickly. And if they find a vaccine and this thing is wiped out completely, then we'll probably go back to the way it was originally.
In the couple of minutes that we have left, let me ask you a couple of personal questions. How are you coping with the virus and this lockdown condition that we're experiencing?
Well, fortunately, my wife hasn't thrown me out yet. I figure it's only a matter of time. But I do have my wife here, and it that makes a big difference. I've got someone, and she loves me, and I love her. I'm real lucky that way. So we're getting to spend a lot of time together. But I miss other people. I'm reading a lot. I'm writing a lot. I'm bird watching a lot. I'm a bird watcher, so I do that. I've been reading, in addition to Chernow's Grant biography, I've been reading Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, which was written in like 1905 or something. And it's fascinating. So that, you know, that's kind of fun. I've got a library here at home. You can see some of it in the background here. I've got a library here at home. All these books that I haven't looked at in years, some of them I'm pulling out and rereading some of them. I never got around to reading because they were assigned in college.
Well, you're also recording the Oblate's Confession.
That's right.
And that should be taking some time as well.
Yeah, the equipment I'm using right now is my publisher bought me all this. Yeah, he wants me to record the an audiobook of the Oblate's Confession, and I'm finding I'd never done that sort of thing before. I'm enjoying it very much, but it is a creative act. It's different from writing. It's sort of almost like a performance in a way, I think. And so that's keeping me busy. I'm not getting into trouble. I've got to walk my dog. I got to keep the house clean. But you don't realize, you know, we're social animals. We humans, we really need each other. And I love this community, and it's hard to be separated from it.
No, it's very difficult. Very difficult. I was wondering, when the, audio book is going to come out.
Good question. I'm doing it using Audacity, which is a free downloadable a program, which is complicated. And I spoke with my publisher about a week or two ago and said, you know, I want to make sure this thing's perfect, and it's going to take me a while to get really good at this. And he said, well, I don't, you know, as long as it's ready by the holiday season, it's not a big deal. So hopefully, it's now moving along fairly well. I'm hoping I may have it done midsummer. But it'll definitely be out by the holiday season, or he'll shoot me.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Bill, for joining me today on Delmarva Today. And it sounds as though you're making a very creative piece of work during your retirement anyway. And thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Hal, for having me. And thank you for doing this terrific program. You also provide a very important service to our community.
Well, that's very nice of you, Bill. I appreciate it. And thanks to all of you for listening to Delmarva Today. I'm your host, Harold Wilson.